Welcome to the Marketing That Generates podcast, hosted by yours truly, Lauren Powell. For over a decade, I've partnered with business owners around the globe to create and implement their digital marketing strategy. Working together with their teams, we generate more leads, more customers, and more revenue. I'm here to make your business growth simpler by making online marketing simpler. Every week, I'll be interviewing other business owners about the strategies that are keeping their marketing relevant in the long term, so they're not hammered by monthly algorithm adjustments. So are you ready to generate more leads, better leads, and more sales-ready leads online while making the most of your oh-so-valuable time? Then this is the podcast for you. Are you tired of being promised the magic pill that's going to solve all your online marketing challenges? Well, this podcast does not promise quick overnight fixes, nor a one-size-fits-all marketing formula. Instead, it will empower you to think differently and more strategically about your marketing so that you get better results. So whether you're a business owner, solopreneur, or an aspiring entrepreneur, listen in and subscribe for zero fluff and actionable takeaways. And for bonus resources, go to marketingthatgenerates.com. In our current podcast series, I interview the owners of four very different law firms, and we dive deep into their marketing. Today's episode is the first of that series, and I interview Annette Stepanian of Your Legal BFF, who's based in Southern California. Annette is so far from your traditional lawyer. She had a virtual law firm long before the pandemic started. And, dare I say it, she actually makes business law fun. Who knew that was even possible? In this episode, Annette shares the behind the scenes of her marketing, what's working, what's on autopilot, and what requires a little more effort. To get all the links mentioned in this episode, make sure to visit the show notes. Today, I have a super special guest for you and a longtime business buddy, Annette Stepanian, and she equips creative professionals and small business owners with legal and business knowledge needed to confidently start and grow their businesses. Annette is committed to making legal information accessible for small business owners and entrepreneurs, and she founded Your Legal BFF, your go-to online legal bestie for easy-to-understand and industry-specific contract templates and trainings. Through Your Legal BFF products, one-on-one services, and the Office Talk podcast, Annette combines her passion for law and small business to help entrepreneurs protect their business baby. You can learn more at AnnetteStepanian.com and YourLegalBFF.com. Annette, thank you so much for being here today.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, well, I am just so excited to share with our listeners everything you do, because I think you just have this really unique and special business helping other business owners protect their assets. So, you know, in my opinion, and it might just be my opinion, but you're not really a traditional business lawyer. Can you share a little more about what makes your approach to business law unique?
You know, I just giggle because, yeah, I have like polka dotted wallpaper in my office. I like to wear like hot pink, you know, pants. And yeah, not your traditional lawyer by any means. And basically what I try and do is I try and make the law really approachable for folks, because I realize that it can be very daunting. It can feel very scary. And when things feel daunting and scary, we try and avoid them. But it's almost, you know, it's a part of our business that we have to address or have some at least basic knowledge around. And so my goal is really to make it approachable, accessible. I know law can, speaking to lawyers, can feel very expensive and quite an investment. So trying to really cater to a market that small business, entrepreneur, creative professional who either knows that they need it or doesn't know that they need this help, but just trying to make it at least a little bit fun, a little less, just less intimidating.
Yeah, I mean, the confetti, like colorful confetti on your website just makes you feel like when I go on there, like, oh, breath of fresh air, like this isn't going to feel like the super heavy topic where I'm like, oh man, like, well, yeah, got to think about the law, you know, got to make sure my contracts are in order. Like it really makes me feel when I go on there, hey, this is fun. This is easy. Annette's got my back and I'm going to like breeze through this.
That's the goal.
That's awesome. So you have two arms of the business. You have Annette Stepanian, where you offer done for you legal services, specifically in California, I believe, but correct me if I'm wrong. And you have Your Legal BFF, where you offer DIY contracts, templates, and trainings. Can you share a little bit more about both arms of the business?
Absolutely. So the Annette Stepanian side of my business is kind of what you would think of in terms of a more traditional law firm, in the sense of I'm providing one-on-one services. So you might have an issue, you might have a problem, you might be being proactive in trying to architect the legal side of your business. And so you come to me and we engage in whatever that service is. I can only serve California businesses or advise on California law. There are a few areas that I can help people outside of California, but that's really what you would think of it. I have no mahogany desks, and you know, it's not traditional in that sense. It's not stuffy. In fact, I joke that usually I'll talk to clients and there are children crying in the background, there are dogs barking in the background. You know, it's a very casual type of relationship that we have when I'm working with a client. And then the Your Legal BFF site was really created, and the products were created to give folks who may need access to certain services, but either can't afford those services, they can't pay the hourly rates for a lawyer, or even if they can, oftentimes I hear the complaint that, you know, I can't find a lawyer who understands what I do. They don't understand my business. And so you'll find a lot of industry specific contract templates on that site that were created working with folks in that specific industry to assess what are the legal issues, what are some of the risks and things of that nature that need to be addressed in contracts. So Your Legal BFF is more of, as you said, kind of like a do-it-yourself. There are templates and videos that kind of walk you through how to customize all those templates and also just create a structure for your contracts in your business. So that's kind of, I think of them almost like sister businesses, but they serve different markets, but more like different needs, you know? So, I might have a customer or a client who comes to me for a one-on-one service and, you know, they'll still buy a template for whatever reason that, you know, whatever purpose they need it for. So they are different markets, but they're in different stages of their business usually.
Yeah. And sometimes like you don't need one-on-one help for a privacy policy on your site, right? You can purchase your template no matter what stage of business you're in for the most part and get enough of what you need from that. Where if you're going through a trademarking process, that might need more one-on-one handholding.
Yeah.
So, you know, and one thing I just want to highlight about what you said is you talked about the format being really casual. And in many ways, I think maybe you were ahead of this whole virtual pandemic world. You had a virtual office way before that was even a common thing for attorneys. Yeah,
it's funny because everybody was like, you know, we got to get used to the Zoom, we got to get used to, you know, working from home and all these things. I'm like, this has been my world for quite a while and for my clients for quite a while. So it was just kind of, it was funny because I felt like we were the anomaly, you know, and then now it became the norm. And so, yeah, just doing work this way virtually has been a key part of my business for quite a while.
Yeah. And I think it's amazing. It really gives people access to you in parts of the state or country that might not normally have access to your services. So I think it's just awesome.
Yeah. I prefer it. It's funny. I'm going to joke. One of my clients, whenever we do a Zoom, she's like, I'm not wearing a bra today. And I'm like, don't worry. It's okay. We're good. No judgment, you know? And so it's it's become our reality, right? Most of us are working in our sweatpants. And what is it? Like people try and dress up above the waist. Like they'll put on a nice shirt and then everything kind of below the waist is like sweatpants and slippers and whatnot.
So funny. Well, I've had the immense pleasure of working with you multiple times, and I wish I still lived in California and could use you as my business attorney, but I can't. But I can still use your contract templates, and I recommend them all the time to my clients who they often have kind of bootstrapped their legal everything, mainly through Google. And, you know, I understand why, like, when you're starting a business, you're strapped for cash, this might work, but I don't always think the risk is worth it, especially when it comes to contracts. So what advice might you give a business owner who needs to get their legal house in order, but maybe doesn't have the financial resources to hire an attorney for one-on-one help?
Exactly. Okay, great question. Look, Google isn't a bad place to start, right? I think the key is to equip yourself with information and to educate yourself. You don't necessarily have to have all the answers. You don't necessarily have to be the one who cuts and pastes and copies and pastes, you know, a contract together from like five different contracts you found for free on the internet, right? That is probably not the way to go. But I think using Google as a tool to find credible resources, legal sources on the internet that you can educate yourself about what are some issues that as a small business owner I should be aware of, and doing that research is great. But then once you've kind of gotten a sense of the lay of the land, that's where you really should team up with a lawyer or some other resource, whether it's some sort of educational content that you could consume, again, from like a credible source, just to, again, educate yourself, prepare yourself so that when you are ready to work with a lawyer, you can make the best use of your time together and you can have a conversation with them where you feel like you're able to communicate and they're understanding you, you're understanding them. And the key thing about just educating yourself with law isn't, again, knowing all the laws, but knowing how to spot the issues. So, you know, for example, that you may not know all the labor and employment laws, but you know, hey, when I'm hiring an employee, like there's a lot of stuff I need to figure out, right? And that's when you say that it's kind of like that alarm needs to go off in your head of, okay, that this is something I need to potentially pull in some professionals in to help advise me. In terms of contracts, you know, the copy and paste thing just always concerns me. I've seen, just because, again, it's about knowing and spotting those issues and having that long-term view of what potentially could go wrong, but also just trying to understand what some of these legal terms mean is key, right? It amazes me how many people send out contracts or sign contracts, A, either without reading them or B, without understanding them. And that was, you know, not to kind of do a shameless plug, but one of the reasons why I created Your Legal BFF and the contract templates there was to give you an explanation of each clause so you understand. So if a client comes to you with questions, so you understand it too, you know, you can explain it to them, you know what you're putting in. And when you're kind of just cut and paste in from different things off the internet, you don't know who wrote that contract. You don't know what the purpose was for. You don't know the bargaining power between the clients or between the parties. So people do it, you know, it's not my preferred approach. And so I don't know if I really answered your question, but I think using those tools to educate yourself is great. But when you're ready to put things into practice and into action, that's where I would like to see more people working with a lawyer or, again, some sort of trusted legal resource where it's a credible source that they can have confidence in using that source.
I think that's really great advice. And I do think there's a lot of affordable entry points like Your Legal BFF, where, you know, you're purchasing a contract template, but you are getting all the education simultaneously without necessarily saying, oh, let me get a net to review this one-on-one because I'm not there yet or I'm not in the right state, where I think it's a really great resource for anyone who's like, okay, I'm beyond. I definitely shouldn't be relying solely on Google, but let me take the next step. And I don't know, just clean things up, because I too have seen a lot of, maybe not to the same degree you have, but I have clients whose vendors have ghosted them, or they don't understand that who owns the work created, and they come to find out at the end of the contract that it wasn't work for hire. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that can go wrong that can be more expensive than just getting an attorney involved in the first place.
Yeah. And I mean, look, with the templates, like, they aren't like end all be all, right? I still think it's, if you can, you take the template, you educate yourself, and then run it by a lawyer in your state, right? It's going to be a lot cheaper for a lawyer to review a contract rather than to draft something from scratch, especially when I hear from so many folks like, my lawyer doesn't understand what I do, right? And so you might go to them and they'll do their best, make their best efforts to draft a contract for you. But without that understanding of that industry, I hear a lot from folks that there's like a disconnect. So it's, again, another way. Yeah, you're going to have to spend some money, but you can reduce some of those costs by putting in some of that work yourself so that, like I said, when you go to that lawyer, you're prepared, you're efficient with your time, you're focused with your questions. And so hopefully then they don't bill you a ton of time for working with them.
I think that's great. And then, you know, maybe just so our listeners have a good understanding of common areas in the business where they should consider legal help, maybe you could just highlight a couple of those from your standpoint, whether it's, you know, trademarking or LLC formation or contracts. I'm just guessing because I'm not an attorney, but
yeah, I think a lot of people, obviously I'm big on contracts in general, just anytime there's an exchange of value for value. So if you're providing a service in exchange for money, it's good to have those things written down and understood so that both parties know what they're getting into. So I think the number one thing is contracts, because it's kind of the, it's kind of like your ticket to making money, you know, in that like people usually, that's where they start, right? They start doing the work, whatever it is, whether they're selling online courses or they're planning somebody's wedding, right? And so getting a good handle on that is key. And just recognizing that it's not a, again, a set it and forget it type of thing. It's something that is constantly evolving as your business evolves. As your services evolve, you should constantly be reviewing and tweaking your contracts to make them to be consistent with whatever new policies and procedures you might be putting into place. And that's just, again, understanding what you're offering somebody in terms of a contract and what you're signing. So if you, to your point, then kind of the next issue is the whole concept of intellectual property. Right now, you know, they say content is king or whatnot. You know, it's there's a lot of quote unquote free content out there, but it really belongs to somebody. And so understanding how intellectual property works, both in terms of trademarks and copyrights, is important, both in terms of just protecting your assets, but also potentially not infringing on somebody else's intellectual property. And I find that a lot of people don't really understand how that works, because you know, things kind of just feel like, it feels like the wild, wild west, you know, on the internet, like everything's out there. And so it feels like it's up for grabs, you know, because it doesn't feel tangible. But that's not necessarily the case. And as the world gets, quote unquote, smaller, because we're all on the internet, and we're all interacting with each other on this platform, and content generation is such a key part of our businesses, people are getting pretty savvy about protecting their content. And so you don't want to be on the end of potentially infringing on somebody's content, which means essentially using it without their permission. So those are the two big ones. When you're ready to hire people to work in your business, there's always the issue of properly classifying them either as independent contractors or employees. And what does that mean for you as a hiring party? That gets very complicated very quickly. And that is something I encourage people to work with a lawyer on to just make sure that they're protecting themselves. The biggest risk being that if you improperly classify somebody and you classify them as an independent contractor when you should have classified them as an employee, that subjects you to potential penalties and fines and back taxes. And so nobody wants to get another big bill to pay. So if you can educate yourself, do the best you can to properly classify workers, that can really help you down the road avoid some of these costs.
Okay, so Annette, you and I have known each other for a pretty long time. I was trying to remember before this interview when we met, but maybe you could tell our listeners a little more about when you started your business and why you decided to go into business for yourself.
Yeah, so it's a really long story. So I'll kind of tell the Cliff's Notes version of it. Essentially, I had been working at a traditional law firm for quite a while, and just progressively just didn't see myself. I didn't want what that big firm lifestyle could give me, right? And I didn't want to become a partner. I didn't want that for myself. And so ultimately, I was like, well, why am I here if that's not my end goal? And so I took a leap of faith. I left my job, kind of some twists and turns here and there, and finally decided to combine my knowledge and my skill set of the law with this industry and this market of creatives and small business owners that I so enjoyed working with. And so that's was really how I came to do what I do today. So it was a little bit of a windy path and different evolution, but it was just really a way of, for me to combine these two things that I enjoy and do it in the way that I like to do it and work on projects that I enjoy working on. And it's given me that opportunity.
That's amazing. And I imagine that you don't regret making that move one bit.
I do not. I do, however, I do miss going into an office, you know, every once in a while. I'm not going to lie. And I'm sure most people probably feel that way nowadays. But it's been, it's worked for me and for my life goals that I've had. It's been, the business has served me well in that regard.
That's awesome. And I personally miss a few days at a co-working space or something like that. But I'm hoping someday soon here, that'll be an option again for some of us.
I can't wait to hug people without worrying that something's going to happen, you know?
I love that. I love that. So I'd love to just talk a little bit through kind of your marketing journey and, you know, from when you got started to now, like how did you first start getting in front of new clients or finding new clients? And what does that look like now? And feel free to talk about what that looks like for your legal BFF or one-on-one or both, depending on what you would like to share.
Yeah, I think in the beginning, like most people, nobody really knows what they're doing, right? You know, you have something to offer and you just want to get it out to people. And so when I first started, it was just really reaching out to people who I thought worked with people or spoke to the people that I thought I could serve. And so that's kind of how it started. And I mean, then I was doing webinars. This was before webinars were, it was definitely not a front runner in it, but it was before webinars what they are today, you know, there was no automated webinar, none of that. So it was really about getting in front of people, trying to give them the education and the background that they needed so that they can then come to a decision on what to do next, right? Because a lot of people just didn't have the information. And so it was a lot of just that. This was even before, it seems like so long ago, but then when you think about it, it really wasn't that long ago. I mean, this was before live streams. This was before, you know, remember was it Kaleidoscope or something? What was the Twitter thing called?
Periscope.
I remember when that came out, I was freaked out. I was oh my gosh, they know where I am. And now we do it, we don't even think about it. And so that was my approach. There was honestly nothing. And even today, I feel like there's nothing really super strategic about it. But what's happened is just over time, two things have happened is one, I've gotten to really understand who I serve and who I can best serve, right? So where are my where do I draw the line? You know, where is it just not my cup of tea for whatever reason? And where am I really good at what I do? And so that really helps narrow down and to properly qualify people who do come to me. The second thing that's happened has just been, you know, it's been a lot of on the legal, the kind of the more one-on-one services, it's a lot of just word of mouth. And so the more you serve, right, the more opportunities you have to serve, right? So if I do a really good job with one client, you know, chances are that hopefully they'll recommend me to somebody else. I don't do anything really actively about it other than trying to do the best work that I can each time. In terms of your legal BFF, it's just, you know, it's a little bit of your more traditional, I guess, email marketing. And so it's a combination of using an opt-in. It's like a quiz that helps people assess where their kind of contract health is. And so based on the quiz results, they get kind of a different, you know, they get like a, not a diagnosis, but they get different recommendations, you know, of where they are. And then that walks them through a series of emails and certain invitations to, you know, to get more information to help them with what it is that they need based on what their results were. So that's kind of it. I mean, I feel like it's nothing super sexy.
I actually love that because it keeps it really simple for you. And I think the quiz especially is so brilliant because it's almost like it automates the one-on-one conversations that you might be having with someone in order to direct them to the best next place, but you don't have to necessarily be available for them. And it feels a bit like self-serve for the customer where they get to make a more informed decision without necessarily having to reach out to you. So I just think it's a really cool way to generate, qualify, and send leads down the right path for them.
Thanks. I just think it's fun.
So yeah, it is fun.
So I did it. Again, like, there's no like major strategy behind it, you know, which again might not be the best thing to be telling your listeners, but there really isn't. It's just a little bit of just testing things and trying them out and what kind of like what I would enjoy. So
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I think it's smart and, you know, really understanding your customers. You really understand your target audience very well and the experience they want to have, and you just serve that up to them. So I think it's brilliant. You also have a podcast. Maybe you can share a little bit more about the role that plays. And I assume it's very similar to the education you used to provide on webinars, just in podcast format.
Yeah. You know, you get so many questions, repeating questions, right? Like just common questions. And so the podcast served as a way for me to answer some of those frequently asked questions, also to interview folks you've been on the show, just to get people to, from the legal perspective, just get that education. And it served a really great role in my business in that it's just created this library of content and somewhat evergreen, right? Because the concepts don't really change, the legal concepts, even though maybe the day-to-day laws do, but the concepts of that education don't change. So it served as a really great way for me to continuously just refer people to those resources. And again, like my goal was to make it easy, digestible, right? So it's a lot easier, I think, to listen to a 7-minute episode about something than to sit and try and read. Understanding it also, to your point, like where my target market is, like, I don't have time to sit down and read something, but I can pop something in my ears while I'm like doing the dishes or like vacuuming, you know, and listen to something and get that information, or back when we used to commute. So the podcast has served that purpose, and also just as a way for people to get to know me, just to hopefully understand what the experience might be like if we were to work together.
Yeah. And hearing someone's voice is a lot different than reading something they wrote. I mean, they're both great forms of content, but it's a little more intimate to hear someone in your ear while you're going for a walk around the neighborhood or vacuuming.
Yeah, it's a very intimate relationship. And it's interesting when you meet somebody whose podcast you listen to and you meet them in person and you're like, I feel like I'm in your podcast. Like, it's so weird because they're always like, they're kind of in between, you know, their voice is kind of in your head when you're listening to the podcast, and then you meet them and you're like, your mind can't just kind of like reconcile the fact that like, oh, they're a person. It's not just. So yeah, I think it does create a very intimate relationship with the listener.
Yeah. And builds a lot of trust, especially for something that may feel a little more, the purchasing decision for hiring an attorney may feel like it needs a little more time before you found the one who you feel comfortable hiring, if you will.
Or it could just, you're either like, I need somebody now because I'm in trouble, or like there's this problem, or it's, I'm going to be proactive and engage, get this person on my team so that I have this advisor to walk me through the different stages of the business as it evolves.
Yeah, I guess that's true. When the house is on fire, the house is on fire. So
yeah.
Okay. And then you mentioned email. Do you use email a lot for your marketing outside of the automations that run for your legal BFF? Or is it mainly all automated, so you don't really have to do a whole lot?
So I don't really do email marketing anymore. Well, I never really did for my one-on-one services. I do the email marketing for my Your Legal BFF side. And it's right now it's pretty automated. Every once in a while, I'll, you know, jump in with things that are, you know, time sensitive or more, yeah, I guess time sensitive. But yeah, it's pretty automated right now.
That's pretty awesome. That's really, really cool. I love it. So, Annette, if someone were earlier on than you in their business and they're working on their marketing, is there a piece of advice you might give them or something you wish you had known when you were getting started or, you know, a few years into your business?
I think I wish I had known that nobody knows what they're doing. In the sense that it's really easy to look up to certain people in your industry and think, oh, they have it all figured out and everything is just like super easy or whatnot. But I've gotten to know some of those people that, you know, that who we might think of as like, you know, further along, and they still feel like they're still figuring it out. You know, nobody really knows, and things are changing so rapidly that they're, even if when you feel like for like a nanosecond that you have it figured out, something changes. So I think if you just kind of let go of that, I don't know what the word is. I don't know if it's like an expectation or a standard, and just try different things, knowing that it may not work, or it may work for now and things have to be tweaked in the future. Just kind of, I guess, have it not be so overwhelming for you. Like, kind of try and make it a game, try and make it fun for yourself. I think people will feel that and hopefully will engage and connect with that versus trying to find a formula, because there is no formula. I mean, I'm sorry, I might be going against what you're saying. Like, there is
no, I don't believe in a formula either. So go for it.
Yeah. Like, I feel like it's just, if you just let go of that pressure and think of it as like, you have all these cool, amazing tools in front of you now. You don't have to use all of them. You don't have to use any of them, right? Like, there are businesses that don't even have websites and they're doing great, right? And so it's just about keeping your eye on the goal, and marketing is supposed to help you get to that goal. But when you start feeling like the marketing is overwhelming you and distracting you from the goal, I think it's time to take a step back and reevaluate, like, what are you trying to accomplish here? And does it make sense for me to use these tools, and how should I use them? Knowing that, you know, it could be really simple.
100%. And, you know, the strategic framework that I present in this podcast is really just to help you get a better understanding for your marketing. Like, how am I getting in front of new people? How am I sorting through who's going to be a good fit and a bad fit? And how am I staying in touch with people? But by no means is it a formula that is the end all be all. There's lots of strategic marketing frameworks. And I agree with you, like, there's no one size fits all. So you got to figure out what approach works best for you and not be so worried about so-and-so's model or so-and-so's model or so-and-so's model.
Exactly.
So I just think that's really great advice.
Yeah. I mean, but you're not like prescribing, like, you have to do it this way. You have to do it this way. You have to say this at this point, you know, you have to like present them with this versus this. Like, you're just cultivating, you're asking questions where they can like then cultivate the right answers with your framework. Right. And so I think when you're new, you feel vulnerable. You don't know, you feel like you don't know what you're doing. And so it's very easy to look at the people who you perceive to be successful and just try and do what they're doing. And I'm just here to tell you that, like, nobody really knows what they're doing.
So. And it just takes the pressure off and helps you have more fun along the way. Because most of the time, that's why many of us have started our business, to add some more fun in some way, shape, or form in our lives. And that's why we left a corporate or a corporate career or a traditional law firm or whatever the path was before. So,
yeah.
I think that's great advice. So, Annette, where can our listeners go to find you online, to check out your contracts, to possibly consider you for one-on-one services? Where should they go?
Yeah, the best place is my website. For one-on-one services, it's AnnetteStepanian.com. And then for the contract templates, it's yourlegalbff.com. And that's where you can find all the information you need. You also have access to a bunch of blog posts and the podcast episodes. So you can start educating yourself on some of the legal to-dos. And then if you feel like it's a right fit, you can then take the next step to either work with me or to purchase one of our products.
Amazing. And all of those are going to be linked in the show notes. So make sure to check those out. Thanks so much for being here, Annette.
You're so welcome. Thank you for having me.
Heck yeah. You just finished another episode of the Marketing That Generates podcast. I hope you found a few takeaways that you can put into action right away. If you want more on today's episode, head over to marketingthatgenerates.com for show notes, links, bonus resources, and related episodes. Plus, if you're looking to connect with other amazing business owners just like you, be sure to join my free community. You can get access at marketingthatgenerates.com. Thanks for listening, and I'll meet you back here next week.